on the earth 40 days after he was raised from the dead. And evidently, these are the last words he spoke before he ascended back into heaven. Look in verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. These are his parting instructions to his disciples. Now, he had also told them of the signs that will follow. We're going to consider this more in detail Wednesday, but look what he says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now this is the Lord's promise of the signs that will accompany the preaching of the gospel. And like I said, these are his last words. And he says to these 11 men in verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, here the Lord tells this tiny band, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this was before radio. This was before TV. This was before the internet. This is before there were trains, planes, and automobiles. And he tells this tiny band, you spread yourself out all over the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, let me give you an example. This has happened on numerous occasions. There have been men who have gone into leper colonies, knowing that they would get this disease, knowing these men would not hear the gospel if somebody didn't come in and preach to them. And they have willingly gone into these leper colonies to preach the gospel, knowing they would die because of this. But they knew no one is saved apart from hearing and believing the gospel. I want to have that spirit, don't you? Faith cometh by hearing. And you know these men that went into these leper colonies, they believed in election. They believed in predestination, just like you and I do. Did that make them think, well, if they're elect, they'll be saved. I'm not going to do that. No, they didn't have that attitude, did they? They were willing to die in order that these men might hear and believe the gospel. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. And you and I are called upon to be involved in this great commission if we're believers. Look back in Matthew 18 or 28. This is Matthew's account of this. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, here's your encouragement to go preach the gospel to every creature, because all power is given to him. This is his commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the preaching of the gospel is the way God has ordained for the calling out of the elect. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's what God's word says. Couldn't God save without preaching? Well, I wouldn't say he couldn't. But he doesn't. That's the point. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Faith cometh by hearing. You can't believe what you've never heard. Let me repeat that. You cannot believe what you've never heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Lord did say to his disciples, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now that is the responsibility of every believer. Follow me, and let me remind you what following Christ means. Most people think it means to imitate Christ. Well, I'm all for imitating Christ. I want to, but that's not what follow me means. Follow me means keep your eyes on me only. Look to me only. As soon as you look some other direction, you'll lose him. You found that in your own experience, haven't you? Keep your eyes looking only to me. And here's what will happen as a result. I will make you fishers of men. And we're very much like Paul when the sense that Paul said, I'm a debtor to all men. I'm indebted to preach the gospel. If God saved you, if God saved me, I'm indebted to other sinners for them to hear how God saves. You know, if somebody came up with a perfect cure for COVID and decided not to give it, that'd be monstrous, wouldn't it? Not as monstrous as someone who knows the gospel and doesn't tell somebody else concerning the gospel. Go ye. Every believer. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, the first thing that I want us to focus on is the gospel. Definite article. The gospel. The good news. The gospel of which Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. What is the gospel? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. Preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I said this recently. Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21 is what God uses to declare the gospel. And this book has one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's one of the reasons why I have such disdain for confessions of men. well, here's what this book is all about. No, this book is what this book is all about. Not my comments on it, not what I think. What God says in His Word. And He uses Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21 to declare the gospel. And there's thousands of places in the Scripture where the gospel is clearly declared. As a matter of fact, the whole book is where the gospel is clearly declared. But what I would like to do this morning is confine ourselves to Mark's use of the word gospel. It's found 8 times in the book of Mark. And we're going to look at each of them briefly to see what the Lord means when He says preach the gospel to every creature. First, turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 1. I told Lynn while we were driving over here, I believe this is this would be one of my many favorite verses. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. This is how Mark comes out of the gate. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning, the origin. When did the gospel begin? Did it begin 2,000 years ago when Christ was born? No. This is the gospel that's eternal. The beginning. The origin. God Himself. Before time began. The beginning. Now this gospel is what John called in the book of Revelation, Revelation 14 verse 6, the everlasting gospel. The eternal gospel. This gospel is as old as God. That means this gospel never had a beginning. And it will never have an end. Revelation 13:8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The beginning. The origin of the gospel. The good news of His Son. The good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, it's the gospel of who He is. The gospel is a message concerning who He is. That is the good news. Who He is. Is. You see, what we believe is determined by who He is. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the uncreated second person of the Blessed Trinity, the one of whom it said, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. Bodily. You know, because of who He is, it's impossible for Him to fail in His intentions. Whatever it was He intended to do, because of who He is, whatever He intended to do, He did. Matthew 1:21 says, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And that's exactly what He did. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus, the Savior. Do you need saved? Do you need saved? Well, He's the only one who can save you. He is the Savior. He's Jesus Christ. He's the Word of God. He's God's prophet. He's God's priest. If He brings you into God's presence, you must be saved. He's God's King. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He's the one who has the ability to make sure all this comes to pass. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now look in verse 14 of this same chapter. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. This kingdom has a king. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14 says that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Don't you love that description of the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. He said, by me do kings reign and princes decree justice. And they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. That is the description of every one of his subjects. Called by the invincible grace of God. Chosen by him in eternal election. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Faithful. They believe the gospel. They believe the gospel. And they can be believed. When they say they believe the gospel, they really do believe the gospel. Now, look in verse 15. Here's the third time the word is used. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye. Change your mind. And believe the gospel. You don't believe the gospel right now. Change your mind. Repent. And believe the gospel. Now, repent. Repent. Change your mind. You know, the stuff you believe about God is all false. Your natural thoughts about God, they're all wrong. They're contrary to what the Scripture says. Repent. Repent about the thoughts you have of yourself. They're all wrong. You're a whole lot worse than you think. You really are. You're a whole lot more evil than you think. You really are. You need a Savior. Repent of your wrong thoughts of yourself. They're wrong. They're wrong. Repent of your thoughts of salvation. Everybody thinks, by nature, that the forgiveness of sins is the end of salvation. If you do this, if you stop doing that, and if you start doing this, and you quit being that way, and you become this way, you'll have the forgiveness of sins. Repent of that foolishness. Salvation does not end with the forgiveness of sins. It begins with the full, complete forgiveness of sins. You repent of anything that's contrary to that. Repent and believe the gospel, the good news. Turn to Mark chapter 8. Verse 34, and when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's Now, here are two things that go together. His sake and the gospel's sake. They can't be separated, can they? For my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. If I seek to save myself, I'll be lost. Do you hear that? If I seek to save myself, I will not be saved. If I fail to deny myself, take up my cross. That's not talking about taking up the afflictions God sins on us. That's taking up the confession of Christ in this world. Salvation only by the cross. And if I fail to follow Him, I won't be saved. I won't be. If I don't save myself, I lose my life. You know what? I'll be saved. And this is the gospel. I deny salvation by self. I look to Christ only. I will be saved. I lose my life. I lose all hopes of self-salvation. I will be saved. Mark chapter 10, verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's." Notice those two things are there together again. His sake and the gospel's. They can't be separated. "But he shall receive an hundredfold down this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life." Now, this is the only message that is so precious to those who believe that by His grace they forsake and don't count it sacrifice. What do I mean by that? Whatever you forsake, is it a sacrifice? No. It's no sacrifice. Such is the glory of His person that that's the way you see Him. It's no sacrifice. If I lose everything, what have I lost? Dung? Dung? It's not. In light of the glory of His person and the greatness of His gospel, it's no sacrifice to lose all these things. As a matter of fact, it's gain. It's gain. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 13, verse 10. "And the gospel," these are the words of the Lord, "and the gospel must first be published among all nations." This is the message that must first be published. You know, something I never like to hear people say, "I'm sharing the gospel." I'm not sharing the gospel. I'm publishing it. There's not the Bible doesn't talk like that. I'm sharing the gospel. Most of what goes under the name of preaching is not publishing the gospel. It's trying to manipulate people, trying to get them to feel bad, to get them to do certain things and get them to stop doing certain things. It's a thing of manipulation. The gospel is not a thing of manipulation. Paul said, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." To publish the gospel. To declare the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. No, we're not trying to manipulate people. We preach the gospel and leave them alone. God will do the work. If I try to do the work, all I'll do is mess it up. I'll screw myself up and you up. We publish the gospel. And that is what comes first. Mark 14, The gospel is the message that must be published. Not apologize for. Not try to bring in the back door. Not try to get people along gradually. You know, we got to... No, it's published. Published. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm proud of it. It's to be published. Now, look in verse 9 of Mark chapter 14. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout all the whole world, this also shall that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. That's talking about this woman. Let's read about her. Verse 3. Mark 14, and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. Now I would have saved the box, and I'd show you all what I did. Look what I did. Here's proof. Not her. She broke it. And she poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Now understand this. Only the gospel produces this. She didn't do this work for recognition, for hope of reward, for fear of punishment. She did this work solely for Him. Law cannot produce that. The law can never produce that. Only the gospel produces this. You see such glory in Jesus Christ that you forget yourself. This is done solely for Him. Only the gospel produces that. And back to our text in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel, as it's just been attempted to describe, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the gospel of His kingdom, the gospel that calls for repentance of anything that's contrary to this gospel. You go into all the world and preach this glorious message to every creature. You know, I love the way the Lord inspired Pilate to write the accusation above the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you remember what it said? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. But it's pointed out that it was written in Latin and in Greek and in Hebrew. Latin, the religion or the language of the educated. Greek, the language of the common man. Hebrew, the language of the religious man. And you know what? They all got the exact same message. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. You go preach the gospel to every creature. Now look what he says in verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth, what's he believe? The gospel. Now listen real carefully. This is a message to be believed. Romans 4:5 says, to him that worketh not, but believeth. You know, you can't work and believe at the same time. Did you know that? If you're working, you ain't believing. If you're believing, you ain't working. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Acts 8:39, what hinders me from being baptized? If you believe with all your heart, you may. He replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God the Son? John chapter 6, verse 29. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. You believe God sent him. And you believe he did what God sent him to do. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe. Now, he didn't say there's nothing you can do to be saved. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He that believeth on him is not condemned. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. As many as were ordained to eternal life, what? Believed. Believed. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you might have life through his name. The gospel message is a message to be believed. The Lord said to those two blind men, do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that he is able to save you with no help, with no contribution whatsoever from you? He that believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. Now, the act of baptism does not save. You know, people believe that going underwater and coming back out, you're born again. Your sins are washed away. Well, that's that's just foolishness to think the act of baptism saves anybody. It doesn't. Somebody says you have to be baptized to be saved. Well, the thief on the cross was not baptized, was he? He was not baptized. Now, I don't have any doubt that if he wasn't nailed to a cross, he would have been. He couldn't be baptized, but he was not baptized. He died having never been baptized, and he was saved. So we know that the act of baptism does not save. But the Lord still says, whoso believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. Now, what is the significance of this thing of baptism? Well, number one, it's just doing what the Lord said. That's enough of a reason, isn't it? If he said to be baptized, that's why I need to be baptized. He said to. And baptism is such a beautiful illustration of salvation. I love to think of baptism in the sense that when Jesus Christ lived, I was in him and I lived. I kept the law. When Jesus Christ died, I died with him. I went into the grave with him. When sin was put away and he was raised, I was there. My sin was put away. When he was raised from the dead, I was in him. I was raised from the dead. What a beautiful illustration we have of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Good question. What are you waiting on? What hinders me from being baptized? What are you waiting on? Let me say this with regard to baptism. It's baptism by immersion. The very idea of an infant being baptized is, it's evil. That's all I know to say. It's evil. Why did he say, whoso believeth and is baptized shall be saved? Because here's the requisite for baptism, belief. Believe the gospel. And baptism is believer's baptism. If you went through the process of being dunked without having ever heard the gospel, that wasn't baptism. That wasn't any different than when you go to the swimming pool and go underwater and come back up. I mean, that's not baptism. Baptism is believer's baptism. When you believe the gospel. Now, I don't know how many of you right now are thinking, well, I wonder if I believed when I was baptized. Every time I hear that, I start thinking that. And I think, I'm not asking you if you knew enough, and don't be thinking that way. You know more now than you did when you were first baptized, don't you? You have a little bit more understanding of the gospel now than you did. And you'll have more now. But if you did not believe the gospel, that act of going under the water was not baptism. Baptism is for believers. Whoso believeth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. And then the Lord gives what I believe is the most terrifying words in all the Word of God. And this is not some fundamentalist, hellfire and brimstone, red-faced preacher screaming this. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth not shall be damned. That one who does not believe will go to hell. That is what that means. What is unbelief? You know, when the Lord convicts of sin, he says, when he has come, he will convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me. You have been convicted of sin when you find out that you're guilty of unbelief and faith is really altogether out of your grasp. You cannot just up and believe. You're dependent upon him to cause you to believe. You've not even been convinced of sin until you've been convinced of that. Of sin because they believe not on me. What is unbelief? Well, unbelief is the opposite of faith. Faith is believing God's word. Unbelief does not believe God's word. Faith sees the glory of God in what Christ did. He gets all the glory. He accomplished it. Unbelief sees no glory. It just sees no glory. You see, unbelief doesn't even need Christ. I can be saved by work, my works. Unbelief sees no value in the blood of Christ or the work of Christ or the intercession of Christ. It's fine without Christ. Has no love for Christ. Sees no beauty in the cross. My works will do. My works will do. How evil. What do you think of your works? And do you think nothing of the work of Christ? Why did he come? Faith is trust. Unbelief says he is not trustworthy. Faith receives him. Unbelief rejects him. We'll not have this man reign over us. Unbelief is the greatest sin. It's the sin from which all other sins proceed. Failure to trust Jesus Christ as all in salvation. And to not trust Christ as all in salvation will mean you will. And I say this, I hope, with a broken heart. But if you fail to trust Christ as all you have, you will be damned. And that's what the Lord says. This is not the words of some red-faced, angry preacher. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth not shall be damned. May the Lord give us the grace to believe the gospel. And may the Lord give us the zeal for His gospel to go into all the world and to preach this gospel. I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Let's pray. Lord, would you be pleased to come down in your word and give every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room the grace to believe your gospel. Lord, we thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. How glorious He is. Bless your word for Christ's sake. In His name we pray. Amen.